That's a long walk from the pier.
It's a long walk.
Wow. Isn't that fun? Could you hear how loud I sang? You could? Udoka said, and you said yes? Wow. Gee whiz, I better not whisper ever again. Now, this is the time when it was going to be Letitia, but please send Letitia lots of prayers because she's had a cancer diagnosis. And so she's having to get in there and get that handled. So she brought us our speaker tonight. I don't know where she ever found this speaker because this one is, she gets paid big money for talking. And she's not getting anything here. But I'm sure she got something to say that'll be pretty interesting. At least I enjoy hearing her. I actually enjoy looking at her. She's pretty. So you guys will enjoy that. Yes, you too. You know, anybody, if you ever feel like picking on anyone, that's the one to do it with. There, same in the... Same with that grin on his face. Did you see that? Mary, you didn't see it, did you?
Yes, I saw it.
Did you? Well, anyhow, you know, as much as people in when they're in a religious movement, they pray a lot. But also, God wants us to have fun and laughter, too, because that is really healthy for us. You know, if you go around 24 hours without any laughter, you won't feel near as good as if you can get somewhere where there's some laughter going on. And God gave us that ability also. And if we're representing God, then we're supposed to be enjoying this world that we're in down here, as well as some of the times it's not so happy. But at all times, whether you're happy or full of troubles, guess what? You're still attached to God, and God is still there to help you. Now and forever. And this young lady is going to share her thoughts with us tonight. Not only did she walk the spiritual path, but she has gone to college for years so that she can reach out and help others in areas in need that some of the rest of us couldn't. And I'm really proud to know her. And that's that cute little thing sitting there with the look with her hands hovering over her nose. Look at that. See that? Look at that. Is she beautiful? This is Tammy.
So Miss Letitia was definitely channeled here tonight because when I first met Letitia 12 years ago, when I crawled into an AA meeting as broken as I could possibly have been, she was sitting there. And no matter what I told her through all the time I knew her, she'd nod her head and we would laugh together. And what she used to have me do all the time was read St. Francis's prayer. And so I had a big plan of things I was going to put together for my talk tonight when she asked me if I would fill in, and I printed some stuff out this morning, and I was going to be very organized and academic about it. And something kept pulling at me to go to campus. So I work at San Diego State University, but I didn't need to be there today. And as the morning was going on and I was doing emails and I was doing all these things, I just kept getting this, you have to go. You have to go to campus. So I did, and I was returning some emails and cleaning up my office and going to get out of there. And a young woman showed up at my door. And, well, she's a medium young woman. She's a mom, and she's in the Master of Social Work program. And she was broken today. And she was broken by a class that she was in and a professor who she's not able to do business with, and she was considering leaving the program. And I sat with her for a couple of hours, And I talked with her, and that threw out all of my plans of how organized I was going to be for you guys tonight. And then I thought about it, and what I do every day is I ask God, where do you want me? And that's where God wanted me. So maybe that's our talk tonight. And also about the children. So I love that when Millie's prayer, when she started out, she says, we are all God's little children. And I love seeing these kids here today. And something I've been doing a lot of talks about lately is about historical trauma and how we can carry in our DNA, we carry in ourselves the things that have happened to our ancestors, that have happened in the world. And all of these things about children have been coming into me. And thinking about when Millie talks about we choose our parents and we come into this world to exactly what we're supposed to go through. And thinking about what that must be like sitting on the other side with all of these angels around us and all of this joy and making a decision to come into a family that's maybe broken, to come in with a lot of things that we have to do. And when you look at babies and you really look in their eyes, they have all the wisdom of the universe. I think that's why we can't talk for a while, because we would tell everyone. So we have to kind of go through a process of where we slowly forget how much knowledge we really have. So a gentleman that I have gotten to know through some of my studies is Dr. Vincent Folletti, who did a study called the ACE study, the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. Is anyone familiar with that? Awesome. Okay. So what he found, Dr. Folletti was a doctor in the obesity clinic at Kaiser Hospital in the 90s when, you know, people who are older like me will remember when Oprah lost all that weight and she wheeled out the wheelbarrow of fat because she'd done this thing called OptiFast. And he was the doctor who was doing that. And what he found was as these women were coming in and they had reached their goal weight and gotten everything that they thought that they wanted, they would kind of disappear. And they would come back after a time having put a lot of weight back on. And he wondered why this was happening. So he talked to a woman, and she disclosed to him after being away for 3 weeks, coming back having gained 37 pounds, she said, I'm not eating, but I think I'm sleep eating because I wake up in the morning and my kitchen is a mess. And he said, well, has this ever happened before? And she started revealing that when she was 11 years old, she began being abused by a grandfather, which went on till she was 22. And by 15, she had gone from a normal 11-year-old to a 350-pound 15-year-old. And he started hearing this over and over from these women, that they had all suffered the same kind of abuse in their childhood, and that maybe that weight was protective. And so he went and presented it at a medical conference, and they all pshawed him. He had about 280 women who had the same story. And they said, oh, people make that stuff up. That doesn't really happen. It's just an excuse, yada, yada, yada. So there was another gentleman, Dr. Alda, from the Center of Disease Control, who was doing a similar study on the East Coast, finding similar things. So they put together a big study with almost 18,000 patients at Kaiser Permanente. And they put together 10 adverse childhood experiences, which included family substance use, physical abuse, different kinds of things that happen to children, including parental separation, these different things. And what they found was astounding. These were all people in their 50s who were middle income, mostly Caucasian. These people had health insurance. Think about it. It's at Kaiser. So their life looks pretty good. But what he found is as the number of adverse childhood experiences went up for each of these people, so did the health problems tied to cancer, heart disease, diabetes, pulmonary disease, substance use. Having four or more adverse childhood experience increased the chance of drug use, of alcoholism, of all of these things. The graphs go just like this. I have them. I can hold them up. Don't know if you could see them. But so he presented this, and I've been thinking a lot about this. And there's something called epigenetics, which is kind of the science of trauma. And it really says that maybe we carry trauma in our genes. I know for one thing for sure, we carry painful moments kind of in ourselves, right? We can feel it. And I look at these beautiful children right here. And I'm just going to have them come up in a few minutes because I want them to do something with me that's really fun. But I thought about what Millie says. And there's a gentleman named Gorba Mate who talks about epigenetics. And it really is that through our genes, we carry this historical trauma. So historical trauma was something that a concept that was developed after they started knowing that the offspring and children's children of Holocaust survivors had PTSD symptoms. So what was it that was carried in this family from the children and the children's children who weren't there that experienced this same kind of, you know, hypervigilance? And that's really what I like to do, my little hand brain. Jose Mar knows I love the neuroscience. So if we think about how our brains are formed, this little middle section here is our limbic system. That's where all of our emotional stuff, that's where that fight or flight happens. And on top of that, we have our prefrontal cortex, which is kind of the boss of us up here. And when this gets all fired up, this has a really hard time working. So when we're really nervous or we're really scared or things are going on, that part of our brain that really understands how to take care of us kind of goes offline. We ever heard the expression, you flip your lid? Totally real, on a cellular neuroscience level. I was so happy when I learned that. And what also happens is in this little inside of our brain right here, we have something called the hippocampus. And that's part of our brain that writes our long-term memories. That's also the part of the brain that's asleep when someone has a blackout from using alcohol. It's also the part of our brain that other parts of our brain spray a whole lot of stuff on so we don't write memories of really painful things. So that, so when we think about stuff that happens, sometimes we don't always know why something's so upsetting to us. We don't always know why when we're in a certain place, we might have these triggered feelings and not feel very good. And we tend to kind of be really mean to ourselves and beat ourselves up about it. We also, if we're studying for something or we're preparing for a job interview or we're doing something that's so important to us and this all gets fired up and it's really that fight or flight response inside of us, we start maybe not writing memories. We have a hard time getting information that we need in the moment. And instead of just taking a minute to just breathe and go, wow, I'm safe. I'm a really good person. You know what? This is really important to me and my heart's really racing right now. And I feel really scared right now. We tend to go the opposite way and say really mean things to ourselves. Like, oh, you're going to screw this up. And oh, how could you be acting like this right now when this is so important? And guess what? It goes further and further offline. And we have a harder time accessing the information that we need. So if you think about, I think a lot about that epigenetics and how if we really carry things intergenerationally through our family and we can kind of look at what our family history is and what happened to people, you know, you'll hear trauma-informed is a big buzzword in the therapy world of being trauma-informed. And what the heck does that mean? It really means being able to ask someone what happened to you instead of what's wrong with you. You know, I hear my husband say it a lot, what's wrong with these people? You know, what is wrong with these people? And it's like, what happened to this person? What happened to this family? What happened to this town? What happened to this country? And when we can learn that and when we can look anywhere that we're dealing with people and see what happened here and how that's played out. I work a lot with the Native American community and I talk a lot about historical trauma. And as therapists, when I talk to young MSW students and working with these communities of finding out what happened to that tribe, because the tribe is the family. But in all cultures, we have collective societies. At some point, all of our families were collective societies and things happened. And I got to meet Dr. Folletti, and he was talking about epigenetics, and I was like Arnold Horshack in Welcome Back, Kotter. Kids, you won't know this, but it was a character that would go, oh, you know. And I was so excited, and first I said, oh my gosh, you're a rock star, and I'm so honored to meet you because I've read his paper on the origins of addiction about a million times. But I asked him, I was so excited, and I said, so does heart disease and cancer run in my family, or does alcoholism and domestic violence run in my family? And if we end that, do we end the disease? And it was really exciting to me to think about that. And then I thought about Millie, and I thought about us choosing our parents And if we're coming into a family and we're coming into a body that's going to go through some stuff, would it behoove us to be born with some DNA that's pretty adept to being in this traumatic family or whatever setting we're going to be in? So if you think about evolution and how, you know, how evolution works, those of us who were the best at fighting or getting away survived to mate more people, right? So if we're from a lineage of people who have experienced some trauma, who have had some stuff going on, by the time we're coming in, we're wired to be really good at fighting or getting away. But in our society today, it's not healthy. All of those chemicals that keep us prepared to do these things also get us sick. And that's what we kind of call toxic stress as we get older. So I'm looking at these little children and these amazing little children right here. And I want to ask you to come up with me for a minute. Can you come on up? Everybody okay? Okay, we're winging it here.
There's a little girl in the back.
Yes, where is she? Does she want to come up too? Okay, so tell me your name.
Gabriel.
Gabriel, can you tell me what was the best thing that happened to you today? Doesn't have to be big. Might just be somebody smiled at you. Could be any little thing. When did you feel the best today? No pressure. You're like, why me first? Just out at the top of your head. First thing that comes to mind.
I sang.
You sang. Do you like to sing? So what happens when you sing? What does it feel like when you sing?
Like free and happy.
Free and happy. Yeah, that is awesome. And how about you? Oh, it says it's a unicorn on her shirt. How fabulous is that? Tell me your name.
Francis.
This is Francis. Oh, and we had St. Francis prayer. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. What's the best thing that happened to you today, Francis?
Maybe when I was playing pole.
Oh, tell me about that.
It's called pole. It's like you have a thing and you hit a ball and try to hit it to the score. I was yellow team.
Awesome. Did you win?
Yes, we were
winning. You did? What was the best part of the game when you were playing?
When we were keep scoring.
When you kept scoring, did you score?
Yeah.
High five. That feels pretty good, right? Awesome. And what's your name?
Anthony.
I'm Tamara. Nice to meet you. Tell me, what was the best thing that happened to you today?
When we performed for the Christmas, we were going to sing a song when we performed on stage.
At school today?
Yeah, we were practicing on stage.
Awesome. So what feels really good about that?
It's fun.
It's fun? And you like being around the people and singing? Awesome. Thank you so much. So you guys had pretty good days today. Yeah. What's your favorite thing to do? You like to sing? You like to play your game?
Yeah, I like playing games.
How about you? And the pressure again. The pressure. Well, I just want to thank you. Oh, he's got one. Here we go. Huh? Got one?
I like to play video games.
Play video games. What's fun about it?
Like the strategy of, like, you have to like know everything about it.
Awesome. So you get to beat stuff and you get to move forward. Thank you all so much for coming up here. I really appreciate you. So kids kind of carry stuff, right? And we can carry stuff. So if you picture these little guys and what they... Yeah, you guys can go sit down. Unless you want to stay with me. You're welcome to stay up here with me. You want to stay with me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So when we're little, we can really find stuff that's great. My daughter was working on a paper for school. She had to write a paper about racism, and she was really struggling, and she had to bring up something from her childhood, and she wrote this really beautiful thing talking about all of her different friends when she was in elementary school and everyone's different backgrounds and how she loved Hottie because he was good at Foursquare and she loved this person because they loved SpongeBob and how she loved all this. And then as we get older, we start heaping all this stuff onto us. And the world starts kind of heaping stuff onto us. And we hear stuff a lot. And right now the world's really filled with so much negativity that we're getting in all the time. And people are walking around kind of grumpy and kind of not feeling safe. You know, anybody kind of not feeling safe periodically? Yeah, and what does that feel like? What does it feel like when you don't feel safe?
I get scared.
Get scared. And what does that feel like in your body?
It hurts.
It hurts, right? Your little heart gets racing. Your little hands get tied up. And that's just this guy. That's just that middle of your brain guy. And what we can do is we can pray. We can call one of these beautiful people. We can reach out to our family and we can say, you know, I don't feel so good. I need a hug. Hugs release oxytocin in your brain, which is a chemical that makes you feel really good. So there's all these things that we can do, but we tend to kind of get stuck in a little bubble of thinking that it's not okay to, you know, I like to do the Tammy show. I like to be happy. I like to be on, and I don't, and it's hard for me sometimes to ask for help myself. The woman I sat with today, she's a mom. It's really hard for her to ask for help herself. So I'd like you all to think about a child that you really love, a child that means so much to you, whether you're a parent or it's a niece or a nephew, and I want you to really picture that child's face right now. I want you to really smell them, hear their laughter, really see this child. And if that child was sad, what would you say to that child? You would know exactly what to say to comfort that child, right? Well, inside of every one of you is a beautiful child who at some points in your life has had some stuff happen. And we don't tend to say those wonderful things that we would say to any child on the street to ourselves. And one thing that Miss Letitia, who is not here tonight, taught me when I first met her was that I needed to take care of little Tammy. And that when I had to go deal with big, mean grown-ups, I would leave Tammy with her. And Tammy would be coloring at her house while I had to go out and deal with the real world. So sometimes it might just behoove us to just reach in and say good things to that little child inside of us, just like you would say to this one, just like you would do to anyone else. We don't know how to love ourselves that much. And we forget. And we get busy. And we get scared. And we get nervous, and we get reactive, and most of all, when things don't go right, we turn on ourselves. We turn that, and you know, they say like depression is really anger turned inward, you know, and with substance use, with everything that goes on in the world, and understanding what's happening with us, to just be able to slow down, picture this sweet little face, picture the child that you love, call a child that you love, and look and see where you are inside there. And what was the moment of what made you feel good when you were little? What smells made you feel good? What sounds made you feel safe? You go, you know, walking outside and looking for the farthest away sounds that you can hear. Listening for the sounds, looking at the light coming through the trees. I brought this picture, which I like to carry around, because I was sitting one day at San Diego State when there'd been a pretty bad hate crime on campus, and everyone was really up in arms about it, and people were protesting and chanting, and the energy just felt scary to me, and I didn't feel safe. And I sat down in the West Commons on a patio, and I looked up, and I saw this tree, and let me see if I have the picture here. I think I brought it. And if you're friends with me on Facebook, you've seen it. But this was a tree that was right in front of me. And I took this picture. And you can see this tree was injured. Clearly, a branch was cut here. You can see where it's scratched up. You can see where it's hurt. But look how it healed itself. And I saw that love, and I saw that heart, and I thought, you know what I see when I walk around this campus is love. I see students cheering each other on. I see professors working with students, helping them out. I see, you know, all this support. And one kid did a bad thing, and we don't know that kid's story. He had accosted a young woman in the parking garage and pulled her burqa off. And it was horrible. But we don't know that kid's story. We don't know his trauma. We don't know if maybe his father was killed in a war there. We don't know what happened to that young man. But what we do know is that one kid did a painful thing, and now everyone's talking hate. And no one's talking about love. And so I posted this on, you know, the school website, and, you know, we'll find what we're looking for at any given moment in our lives. Whatever you're looking for will be in front of you. So if you're looking for hatred, if you're looking for anger, it will be there. But if you're looking for love, like these children are looking for joy, like you feel when you're singing those Christmas songs from childhood, you're safe. And I think at any given moment, just being able to know that we're safe, and I like to do this, just say, I'm safe. I'm safe. Another trick that I use is I take my cell phone and I put it on silent, because if it rings, it would be embarrassing. I have to do self-talk out loud. You know, when we're singing and we feel that vibration in our chest, and Millie's always telling us, get your voice up, raise your vibration. Something happens when we speak out loud. Something happens in our body, right? Go, go ahead. Everybody, We feel that vibration in our bodies. So when you're saying nice things to you, saying it out loud so you feel the vibration, so you feel it on a cellular level, can really shift your energy. So when I have to go do things that maybe I feel scared of, where my brain's trying to attack me and tell me how unworthy I am and how unintelligent I am and how I should just go home and go get back under my covers, I'll put my phone to my head and I will talk as if I'm talking to my child, my daughters, because I would never let anybody be mean to them. And I just say, you know what? You got this. You are amazing. Nope, don't tell me that. You are. I love you. No, I love you. And you can do this. Seriously? You're going to tell? No, you have this. You got this and you can make it. Yep, and you're going to be amazing. And yep, if you trip, it's fine. Yep, you'll get back up. And I will have this conversation with myself. Okay. People don't think I'm crazy, because I did find myself doing this out loud in public and not having a phone and pretending I had a Bluetooth when I caught myself. But it helps. And that's what I want you all to do. And as we go into this holiday season, holidays carry a lot of stuff. There's good and bad and ugly. Families get together and it's good and bad and ugly. And at any given moment, something that starts out as so wonderful can snap something in us where we don't feel so wonderful again. So I just want you guys to be able to check in with that little girl and that little boy inside of you and love them and tell them they're safe and be good to yourselves. And if you can't get there, take out your cell phone and have that conversation with that person inside of you that needs that encouragement. And I just want to show you one more thing. So I like to look for signs of what's supposed to happen. And I like to look for signs in threes. Miss Letitia taught me that too. So I just wanted to share something with you. This is, you probably can't see it from this far away, but I'll leave it up here if you want to look at it. My youngest daughter went away to college this year, and I was really nervous about it. And for those of you who've heard me talk at church before and know me, my youngest daughter changed my life in profound ways. And I believe that she came into this life to stop the cycle of alcoholism that was going on in her family. And she absolutely sacrificed so much for me to get to live and for me to get to be the parent and the person that I want to be today. So on our first trip to UC Santa Cruz, in this little picture, I took a picture of her on a bridge. And in that picture was a rainbow right behind her. And it was interesting, it was pretty, and I was like, wow, maybe this is where she's supposed to be. And, you know, when we sat down and talked about it, she did decide that's where her body felt the best, was at that campus. And I think that was our most important thing for me, was where did your body feel the best of all the campus we looked at? Because if we don't feel good in our bodies, we're not going to learn. We need to feel safe. So that passed, and then came her high school graduation. And in this picture, she want to look? See that rainbow? In this picture, there's a rainbow coming around her neck and shining on her diploma. And I thought, wow. I asked Millie, I said, that's a really powerful spirit with her, you know, and is that my mom or who is that loving her up? And then when I took her to college to move her in a couple of months later, I called her and her roommates out onto the balcony to take a picture. And she yelled down, "Mom, was that one dark?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, it kind of is." So I took another one. Then I looked at the dark one, and going all across them is a rainbow again. A few days later, one of my best friends, whose mom has recently been diagnosed with dementia, was going through her mom's things. And she found a book that my daughter, when she was little, made for her parents. And in that book, Maddie had drawn this angel. And saying, you know, had fun at Bible study. And I was like, wow, she knows this angel. She knows this angel. Her little self, that little self who hasn't forgotten anything yet, because we come into the world with all the wisdom of who's with us, knew that angel. She knows that angel. And now she's at school, and whenever she gets stressed out, I'm like, you know, ask your angel. And she's seen the evidence of it. So we can ask for little signs. We can look at trees. We can look at the sky. We can watch for butterflies. We can look for whatever we need to feed us in that moment every day. And we can be kind to that little child. And we can know that we came into this life with all the wisdom of the universe. And we can access that little bits at a time, maybe in our sleep, but most of all when we breathe and we feed ourselves with loving energy. And with that, I will leave you. Thank you so much.
Is that good? Good? Thank you so much. Look at my helper here. You made me feel safe up there. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Do you think she gets delighted with life?